You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
That was Midnight Sister with a track called Limousine. Very cool new record, that one there. Kia ora te whanau, you're on the BFM Breakfast Show. My name is Rachel and we're talking about the Auckland Arts Festival with Edith Amituanai. Morena, how are you?
Morena, kia ora.
Hey, it's so nice to have you up in the studio. Last time we spoke was back when I did the arts show and we were actually speaking about this exhibition, which is called Edith and George in Our Sea of Islands, which you were showing down in Wellington, I believe.
Yeah.
And now it's making its way up to Auckland, and I'm very excited to talk about it this morning. So thank you for coming in. Give us a little bit of an overview for people who aren't familiar with your practice. You're a photographer, you work collaboratively a lot, you also work a lot in schools.
Yeah.
How did you come to be, I guess, interested in this project? Because it's like a collaboration across time and space
Yeah. Well, I'm interested in photographing people, and particularly from the bottom of the world, as we describe it here, at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean, is how I've always, we've described ourselves here in New Zealand. And we often underestimate or undervalue that thing. And also I've been looking at pictures made by Aperture magazines for a long time, and they never feature anyone from our side of the world.
No, they don't.
No. So Magnum, if you're listening, you know, photographers here are very good and waiting for that call up, I suppose. But I've sort of been interested in making photographs for the rest of the world to see from that perspective in New Zealand.
Yeah, hard. And you have got this also really awesome focus, which I've always loved about your work, which is really entrenched in your immediate community. So the people you know that live around you, that, you know, go to school with your neighbor's kids and with your own daughter, and in this kind of space that it feels really personal but also really collective as well. Is that something that just kind of comes naturally to you, or is that a thing that you decided to do one day?
Well, I mean, I am underwhelmed by it too. So why can't I just find some really interesting subject, like, I know, some civil war over there. So I do have what I have right in front of me, and I'm also insecure about it sometimes, because I'm like, it's not so interesting from a sort of news point of view, sort of. But I also like that challenge of trying, oh, why aren't they interesting? Could it be interesting? Or is that a thing that's been told to me from media or news channels, saying, you know, look at this exotic thing over there. So I like the long-term interrogation and investigation of something that's right under your nose. Because it's, you know, that old adage of truth is stranger than fiction.
Yeah.
It's true, right?
It's so true. It is so true.
The stories that you know from your neighbourhood. And the connections made to the world, the social world, from just on your doorstep is amazing, right? So I've been tasked with that mission for my work, I suppose. Yeah.
And I think it is. It's one of those. It's one of those missions which kind of creeps up on you slowly a little bit as well. You kind of take photos, and then over a period of time, you maybe look back at it and think, oh, this is what my practice is, or like, this is what I'm making.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to talk about this this particular exhibition, because it's called Edith and George in Our Sea of Islands, and it's a collaboration with the late George Crummer. Can you tell us a bit about who George Crummer was?
George Crummer was living in the Cook Islands over 100 years ago. I think he's... I'm going to get this wrong. It could be Scottish. Was a seaman. Somehow ended up in the Cooks. I think he had a sea trading background, married a local woman there. So the Crummer family that you know, Annie Crummer, the singer, that's that line.
Ah, true, okay.
It's that whānau. But anyway, I saw his work in a conference some years ago by Nina Tonga. Nina Tonga presented a series of photographs on this man who was photographing his community over 100 years ago and the Cooks. And anyway, it was really simple. I saw this black and white image of a young Cook Island boy holding a bike. And lots of images of Cook Islanders with bikes or te vaivai. I went, ah. And so it dawned on me, oh, me and this guy should have a show because I'm doing something really similar.
Yeah.
Just now. So yeah, that was it really.
That's one of my favourite, I guess, like series, to call it a series, of your works, is just these awesome photos of like kids in your neighbourhood with their bikes and their sirens as well. It's just such an awesome thing to be able to document or be a part of. For people who are just like not familiar with what siren culture is, could you give us like a pocket history of it or a bit of an overview of what it is?
I mean, I do think that lots of people find them annoying, and they are. I mean, that is the point of the culture is to be loud and to take up space in sort of an auditory form. But I heard the story is that it started in Tongahai, and guys were being inventive with the technology, school fire alarms, and they were ripping them off the walls and attaching them to their batteries. So science.
Nice.
And connecting their Bluetooth speakers to their sirens. So then it sort of moved here and adapted, and people have been buying lots of sirens, fire alarm sirens, and attaching them to cars. There's a whole battle and a culture of it. So it's sort of part of this documenting what's under our nose and sometimes blasting in our ears. But it will change in a few years, 100 years.
Totally. And it's kind of also had this amazing moment of international stardom in the last year because of Josh 685's number one Billboard hit, which is a siren beat made for playing on your sirens.
Exactly.
Which I think is just like one of the coolest stories of the last year, to be honest. It is an amazing thing, I guess, to look at these photos that George Crummer took and see kind of a kindred spirit across like 100 years of art making. And also someone who was a Scottish man living in the Cooks.
Yes.
Taking these photos that they feel of the community. They're not that, you know, Palangi lens that quite often gets put on, you know, a sort of anthropological kind of thing. Was that something that struck you when you were looking at those images?
Yeah, we are informed by the technology that we use. So sort of, you know, the way things look is informed by the technology. So he's using a really old camera, glass plate negative, so people have kept very still. Mm-hmm. So it's of that sort of look and language of that time.
Mm.
But I did keep looking, and I realised he was living there, which is very different to being sent over there to document land. So I thought, okay, there's something in this, in this connection. I do realise that it's a lot of his props, the photographer's props, but it's I sort of like the geekiness of it, like this thing of trying to document all the people in your community with this new toy that you have, this technology that you have, with all these things. And I kind of connect to that sort of geekiness or this purpose photograph these people who often might not be interested in what you're doing. You just have to convince, it's going to be good, really, promise. And then maybe 100 years later.
Yeah, but it's still the same kind of idea, I guess. And that's something that you do in other parts of your practice as well, especially when you're working with schools and school communities, because you quite often go into schools and give the kids the cameras and give them the power and the tools and the toys to make these things. How do you sort of see that part of your art practice in relation to this, which is more you taking photos of your community? Do you see like a natural kind of handshake between those two things?
Yeah, or an extension or a reinvention, I think, of my practice, or because it's quite boring to keep doing the same thing over and over again. And and you don't learn from doing the same thing over and over again. So I thought, oh, well, what about sharing the image-making process, which I know lots of people wouldn't want to do, the giving over that control, but I do learn from giving the photograph to other people, camera to other people to photograph. So it was about sharing the tools and also sharing the process with other people, so that it was this learning exchange, really.
I think, that's something I've always loved about your work, is exchange seems to be like a really key theme. And I think maybe with this exhibition, which is across history, across seas and across time as well, there is this kind of exchange. You're having this conversation with this artist from 100 years ago.
Yeah.
It's going to be beautiful. I'm very excited to see it. And it is showing at the Homestead Galleries.
Yeah, and at Corbin's.
At Corbin's, yeah.
In Henderson, there, opening Thursday the 18th of February and runs to the 4th of April.
And it's free as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So everybody should head on down. And I'm sure there'll probably be maybe some artist talks or some events around that.
I plan to do a studio booth or something, photograph one day, a portrait day. I think that's coming up. And there'll be my book there that you could get and buy from a retrospective I did 2 years ago.
Cool.
At the Adam Art Gallery. So he talks more about that exchange in that book there.
Awesome. As Edith Amitu and I, thank you so much for coming in and speaking to us about Edith and George in our Sea of Islands, which is on as part of the Auckland Arts Festival for 2021. We'll see you soon.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.